Tony Khan is the face of AEW. He's not letting his stars be the face. He's not letting the stars build the company. He's trying to build the company. He's trying to do all the stuff. He's on TV all the time. He's at every media scrum from beginning to the end. He doesn't have to be. What is going on, everybody? It is I, the franchise here, one half of the Royal Club Wrestling Podcast. As promised, I have my notes. As I promised you guys in the beginning of the week, especially after Tuesday, I said that I will be delivering a very jam-packed episode of this here Royal Club Wrestling Podcast. Before I go any further, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and share this here video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure when you do subscribe, hit that notification bell so you are updated of when more content is dropping. Make sure you also follow us on RCW_podcast on Instagram and on Threads. I say all that because I have a lot to get into and I am not going to waste any time. Let's jump right into it. Have the battle lines been drawn between WWE and AEW? I say that because, as we all know, Tuesday night was Tuesday Night Wars. AEW decided that they were going to have their show, Title Fight Tuesday, on the same night as we know, NXT. NXT is always on Tuesdays. I mean, they did this because, obviously, Wednesday was MLB baseball. It was playoffs. So they decided that they were going to compete with NXT. Tony Khan, you know, and I know, before we go any further, I know I said that I was going to be very reserved and I wasn't going to bring up AEW anymore after, I think it was a CM Punk issue. But I feel like this matter right here, I should address. Me and Ace have had conversations about this. And you can only imagine that we were going back and forth about it. He has his opinion and I have mine. I feel those. I told him because he made a comment about how AEW, it might be over for AEW because you declared war against WWE and you made these statements about, you know, Triple H, or you made these statements about Undertaker and John Cena. And that was the tweet that caused WWE to now say, okay, this is it. Now we're really about to go off on you guys. And he said, if that's the case, AEW, y'all had y'all run. And I said, no. Wave that flag. Go down with the ship. You know, go down with them. Go down fighting, swinging. This is your company. This is your people. These are your guys. So you need to go down with them. Go down. But as we all know, Tony Khan was very active on social media this week and was promoting a lot of this, trying to get more people to get on. And then as Tuesday night ended, we all know how it was. We had, for example, we had on Tuesday night NXT, we had Bron Breakker versus Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes had John Cena in his corner. Paul Heyman was in the corner of Bron Breakker. We get a little bit into some of the stuff that Paul Heyman was doing backstage as well. We had LA Knight. He was there. He served as the special referee for Dominic Mysterio's match against the NXT champion, Aaronoff, Dragunov. Undertaker made an appearance after the conclusion of Bron Breakker versus Carmelo Hayes. Asuka took on Roxanne Perez. The Brawling Brutes was there. WWE NXT was very jam-packed. AEW, they put on a good show, too. You know, I'm going to give them their credit. You know, they did do that. There were certain things that I didn't like, you know, that I kind of had some questions about. Like, why would you have Toni Storm's segment, even though it was a silent movie, why would you have that with Picture on Picture? Why? Doesn't make any sense. I'm going to dive a little bit more into the MJF Bullet Club Gold segment because that did stir up a lot of controversy, and that is one of the things that I think will potentially be a downfall for AEW. But the numbers came back for AEW Dynamite and WWE, and WWE beat AEW by 312,000 viewers. AEW had 609,000 viewers, and WWE NXT had 921,000. This began a spiral of tweets from Tony Khan. You can see it all right here. The one tweet that I want to talk about that really disturbed me was the tweet about the year, it's been 1 year since his mother had her, you know, Mayo Clinic saved his mother. And he stated, as you see in this tweet right here, he stated how during that time, he was receiving word from AEW talent that WWE was contacting them, trying to allege them to tamper their get out of their contract. And he said this is when it became personal to him. I'm going to let the Podfather himself, Don Tony, explain this because he breaks it down and he brings up certain dates, and I'll give y'all my thoughts right after. Let the Podfather explain.
A weird vibe happened a couple of days ago, and I got to bring it to the surface. Tony Khan wrote this. He wrote this. This weekend marks 1 year since the Mayo Clinic saved my mom's life. During her ordeal, AEW talent came to me alleging WWE tampering, inducing them to break their contracts. I'll never forget those phone calls at her bedside in the hospital. It's when business became personal for me. Now, for anyone out there that is a big Tony Khan supporter, AEW supporter, and hates WWE, to use your mom being on a deathbed and saying that WWE, what he is claiming in here is that almost as if WWE knew that he was by his mom's deathbed and they were telling AEW wrestlers, you know, come on, come over. That they were calling him up. Just let this tweet sink in. You want to talk about it's the anniversary of the Mayo Clinic saving your mom's life. Beautiful. You want to put up a link so people want to donate money for research or something like that. Beautiful. But in the same sentence, 1 year ago, my mom, her life was saved because of the Mayo Clinic. And while I was at a deathbed, WWE is calling my talent, telling them to leave the company. That's when business became personal. Doesn't that seem a little strange? Doesn't that seem a little odd? Distasteful? He says, 1 year ago, this weekend. So we're October 14th. 1 year ago this weekend, the Mayo Clinic saved his mom's life. During her ordeal. Now, for those that don't know, this is very important. You got to follow me with the dates and you'll get it. Trust me, I read this 3 and 4 times before I even wrote what I wrote yesterday. So when I write something, I'm pretty confident that I'm not making a mistake. She had two strokes. She had two. She had one weeks earlier. She was rushed to the hospital, I think the Mayo Clinic, and they couldn't find anything. They sent her back home. She had a second stroke, and that's when her life was in dire jeopardy, and the Mayo Clinic saved her life. That is the quick synopsis for those that want to know. So she was in the hospital for a stroke, sent back home, had another one a few weeks later, very, very serious. They saved her life. That's the overview. Okay, now we talk about dates. We talk about dates. 1 year ago, William Regal. Remember William Regal asking AEW to be let out of his contract? I want to direct you to the video screen. And for those in audio only, no worries. This is Fightful from a year ago. Now remember the timeline. October 14th, last year, right around that time, Tony Khan's mom, her life was saved from the Mayo Clinic. During her ordeal, from her first stroke to having her life saved, he claims WWE was doing this, and that's what made it personal. Okay. Last year, Fightful posted a recap of Tony Khan's conference call revealing that William Regal will be leaving AEW by the end of 2022. Now, I want you just to pay attention to the print that is bold, the bold print here. I got a phone call saying William Regal had approached Mega and said it was all very legitimate and valid stuff. Basically, he has a son who works in another wrestling promotion, and he really wanted us at the end of the year when we had the option to renew his contract. He was asking that we would not. Nothing bad. We were having a great time working together, but this is an opportunity for him to go back and work in these golden years of his career with his son. Okay, no problems. Now we scroll down a little bit more. Quote, I got a message from William Regal asking if we could talk. I made time to talk to him. I went outside the hospital. I'm sitting in a park bench in front of the Mayo Clinic, and we had a very long talk. Now, I got to find the all-out remark. Let me find the all-out remark. Okay. I'm just looking on his quotes. Hold on. Let me see where I can find the all-out remark, because the all-out is what ties this all together. Hold on a second. All-out. Here we go. Okay. Tony Khan began revealing that his mom suffered a stroke between all-out and Grand Slam, and then suffered another stroke in October. Okay, here's the timeline, everyone, and I want you to focus on this. She suffered a stroke between All Out and Grand Slam, and she was sent home. Okay, All Out took place on September 4th, 2022. Remember the date, September 4th, 2022. All Out was September 4th. Her first stroke was after September 4th. Grand Slam, if I remember correctly, was September 21st, right around that time. So sometime between September 4th and September 21st, his mom had her first stroke. She was sent to the hospital. They couldn't find anything. They sent her home. She had a second stroke in October, which is right about now, and the Mayo Clinic did surgery and saved her life. Okay? You follow me so far? So between September 4th and the third week in September, she had her first stroke. Remember, they sent her home. They couldn't find anything. But still, probably wasn't feeling well. So from around after September 4th to October, this is when this all happened. Okay. Now I show you this. Backstage news on AEW's response to alleged contract tampering by WWE. Look at the date. This date is August 24th. Not only that, Fightful, if you're a paid member, Fightful reported this several weeks before August 24th. This is when Mega And WWE told WWE Stephanie McMahon and Nick Khan, remember the famous words, knock it off. This week of August 24th, Tony Khan had a meeting with AEW talent addressing WWE alleged contract tampering. His mom didn't have her first stroke until a few weeks later.
The dates don't add up. The news of the WWE tampering with the AEW was in August. It's October that he made that announcement about the year. It's been a year. It's one thing to be upset and you want to just keep throwing your shots at them. But when you do stuff like this, it doesn't sit well. It does not sit well. It makes you look very immature. It makes you look like a child. And it's just, I don't get it. I wish Tony Khan nothing but the best. I wish AEW, in all seriousness, nothing but the best. AEW will be in a much better space if you have somebody, or y'all will be in a better space if y'all didn't have Tony Khan acting the way he does. Bully Ray said it best, man, in this tweet right here. You put on a great show. Live to fight another day. All of this, and it got bad because I was watching Don Tony on Saturday, and he showed that when a fan happened to tweet, because TMZ reported this, or TMZ had reported the MJF situation. This is what the owner of a wrestling company is doing. He is DMing fans and cussing out fans. This is what he's doing. You would never see a Triple H do this. You would never see a Vince McMahon do this. You would never see even, hell, Eric Bischoff, Vince Russo. They would never do something like this. But now you have Tony Khan, who is a billionaire, who basically is being a kid. It's like when a kid, you give a kid the responsibility to like own something, and then they just don't know how to handle it. Speaking of Vince Russo said this in regards to Tony Khan, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. Listen to what Vince Russo had to say.
And I think my opinions can shed some light on that. Why? Because I've been in the industry since 1991. I've worked for the three largest companies in the industry. I've been at the very tippity top of the industry. I still watch product. I still keep my finger on the pulse. I know what's going on. And that's why I feel, Tony, I'm talking to you because I'm going to tell you a lot of things, man, that your talent will not tell you, but that they're thinking and they're feeling. And the reason why they won't tell you makes all the sense in the world, bro. You're signing their paychecks. So professional wrestlers, at the end of the day, bro, it's about the paycheck. It's about keeping in line, not stepping out of line, being a good little soldier, and putting over the one who pays the checks so the checks keep coming in. That's the reality, bro, of a professional wrestler. So nobody on your roster is going to tell you this. And I am going to tell you this for your own good, man. This isn't a promo. This isn't a hate speech. I don't know you, bro. Do I have some fun with you on russosbrand.com? I absolutely do, bro. But that is out of fun. That is out of entertainment. I do not have hate in my heart for anybody. And that's why I want to share this with you today. You know, we just had Super Tuesday. And I even believe you coined it Super Tuesday. And you literally set up this big fight, this big war between yourself and AEW and the WWE through NXT. You painted a picture of a war. And I got to tell you, Tony, there is no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind that you confidently believed that you were going to kick the WWE's butt, NXT's butt on Tuesday. There is no doubt in my mind. Bro, there is no doubt in my mind that you thought you were going to beat NXT. And you know what, Tony? You should be thinking that way. That's the way a winner thinks. But the reality of the situation is that was unrealistic. Bro, almost as unrealistic as TNA thinking that they could beat the WWE on a Monday night. That was unrealistic. That was a mistake. And Tony, it was unrealistic for you to believe that you were going to beat the WWE head to head. That was unrealistic. Now, do you want to believe that? Absolutely, man. Do you want your company to believe that? Absolutely, man. The only problem is, Tony, brother, they got a 50-year head start. Do you understand that? AEW has been in existence now for about 4 years. Bro, they've got 50 years on you, Tony. So it was very unrealistic to think that you were going to beat them. You want to beat them? Yes. You're going to come out guns blazing? Yes. You're going to put your best foot forward? Yes. But you're not going to beat them. For the mere fact, bro, alone that they got a 50-year head start on you, Tony, forget about the roster, forget about the production, forget about storylines, characters, forget about any of that, brother. You know, it's like having a Los Angeles Dodgers and a baseball team where it's their first year in the league. It's their first year in the league, bro, and they think they're going to overcome the Dodgers in one season. That's unrealistic. And the problem is you went public with this. You went as far, bro, as to call Triple H a bald a-hole. Then you're on the Dan Le Batard show, and you're talking about how you are going to win Super Tuesday. What you did, Tony, was you set yourself up for failure. But as I sit here on the sidelines and I watch you, what I'm afraid of is you're not learning from these mistakes. And I firmly believe, I don't care how much money you have. I really don't. And Tony, I will never know what it is to be a billionaire. God bless you, man. God bless your dad, all the hard work of your family, all the sacrifices. I will never know what it is to have $1 billion. But I do know this. When you continue to repeat mistakes over and over again, it is going to catch up with you. It always does. I saw it happen to Dixie Carter. It is going to happen because repeating mistakes has nothing to do with how much money you got in your bank account, bro. It's got to do with not learning. And Tony, what you have done is you have made yourself the face of AEW. You have done that. Vince McMahon was never the face of the WWE. And if Triple H takes over, I promise you, Triple H will never be the face of the WWE. Ted Turner was not the face of TBS. Dixie Carter was not the face of TNA. You have made yourself the face of AEW. You have put yourself ahead of the talent.
So as you see, I will compare what he said to, for all the hip hop heads out there, it is like when Bad Boy and Death Row was going at it, and the Source Awards, when Suge Knight said, "If you want to be a part of something and don't have to worry about the CEO, the boss being all up in the videos, all on TV dancing, come over to Death Row." Tony Khan is the face of AEW. He's not letting his stars be the face. He's not letting the stars build the company. He's trying to build the company. He's trying to do all the stuff. He's on TV all the time. He's at every media scrum from beginning to the end. He doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be. Have it be like WWE does it with their media scrum. How they do it, they have 3 or 4 people, and then Triple H comes out at the end. And Triple H has his moments, said what he says, gives the numbers, talks about other business. But he's not the face of it. He's not sitting at everyone with every person that's up there. He's not doing that. He's not. Tony Khan needs to stop, because between these tweets that was put out and the MJF incident, you're not looking good at all. Now, for those that don't know what I'm talking about with the MJF situation, on Tuesday, MJF and Bullet Club Gold had cut a promo, was having a segment, and Juice Robinson, as I said on the Instagram page, I did a story about it, and I just said how, you know, this is not good, especially because you do this in the week that everything is going on overseas with Israel, Gaza, Palestine, all of them, right? And you have an anti-Semitic segment, promo. And you do it the week of all this is going on. And as I said, Tony Khan went at somebody on Twitter in a DM because they tweeted about it, because TMZ tweeted about it, because TMZ covered it, and TMZ is reporting that a lot of people outside of the wrestling world took offense to this. Then MJF released a statement, and he starts the statement off by Muhammad Hassan played the role of an evil Muslim terrorist. Now, I brought this up too on the story, but I mentioned how, what was the end result of Muhammad Hassan? Now, the role that Muhammad Hassan played in the WWE was 3 to 4 years after 9/11. And they still fired him after the segment that he did with The Undertaker where he did like a terrorist type of attack on, he did that. And they let him go after that. And he's never really been the same after that. That was 3 to 4 years after 9/11. Y'all decide to do this the week of what's going on overseas. And MJF is basically saying, like, I'm trying to be a teacher. I'm trying to teach this. Let this be a lesson and all this other stuff. Listen. No. No. I hope that this is not the beginning of the end for AEW. I hope that these two events that have taken place this past week is not going to be the beginning of the downfall of AEW. Screw the fact that you want to sit there and you want to declare battle or war against WWE by taking your little shots at them. You sit there and you do that. That will cause more damage than any type of thing you try to do with the WWE trying to win a ratings war with them. That'll be the last thing you have to worry about. I hope and pray that Tony Khan gets his act together. Because right now, Tony Khan is acting like a petulant child. He is. He is. He needs to do better. You're not seeing, you know, you would never see this from them. Never. You just won't. So I'm going to digress from that because, I mean, I can go further, but I'd rather get into all the more fun and more lighthearted things. Let's have fun with this. You know, let's talk about the bloodline, shall we? Let's talk about the one story that a lot of people are not talking about. And it could be the beginning stages of what we love to call long-term booking. Let's talk about it. So, on Tuesday, Paul Heyman was in NXT. Paul Heyman was seen in NXT in a video that circulated online. But nobody really, it wasn't on NXT programming. But it circulated throughout the wrestling community. Paul Heyman was seen, as you see this video right here, you see Paul Heyman. And for those that are not watching it on YouTube, the video shows Paul Heyman sitting there talking to somebody, has his phone in his hand. We all know WWE is selling now phone cases. And he has a phone case that has the Bloodline logo on there. And he happens to be like, you know, and you see somebody look, the camera pans to the side, and you see none other than The Rock's daughter. That's right, Dwayne Johnson, Ava Ray, The Rock's daughter, who's also a part of the Bloodline. We all know that. And if y'all follow the podcast page, you've seen that on Tuesday I was going ballistic, losing my mind. Because I could not believe that we are about to embark on this. I said that then. I say it now. I've said it in the past. My brother wants to say that. He was the first one to say it. Whoever said it doesn't matter. It was said. If you want to make Rock Roman happen, you have to make it personal. This is bigger than a title. It is bigger than a title. How do you make it get personal? You do this. You integrate Ava into the Bloodline. You make it so The Rock, in my opinion, will say, I will never fight Roman. Roman is not this. Think about what Roman, think about what Rock said during the Pat McAfee show. He said that he wanted to create something, but he wanted it to be more than just the WrestleMania moment. He wanted to create something that's going to have a lasting impact, that is going to bleed out beyond WrestleMania. Let's make this story longer than WrestleMania. This is how you do it. You do it with her basically lining herself. You could do it one or two ways. Line herself with the Bloodline. Disown The Rock. Hell, slap her grandmother. If you really want to get personal, slap her grandmother. And you have Rock to where Rock is like, now I have to fight you because I have to fight you to get my daughter back. You know, I have to do this. You can now integrate all members of the bloodline. Nia Jax, Tamina, Jimmy, Jay, Solo, everyone. Get everybody involved. Get everybody involved. But that right there will be groundbreaking. I'm telling you, it will be something that we will be talking about for years to come. How did Roman say it? We ain't cooking fast food over here. We cooking filet mignon. I've always used that reference because this is an example of the filet mignon that's being cooked. And this is just thawing out. This is in the crock pot. This is in the crock pot. This is just marinating. It's marinating. This is let it go. Let's get it going. Let's get it going. You know, because it's just like when you think about this storyline and you think about what we can get from this. If we thought Jey Uso and Roman and Jimmy was something, now you get her involved and now you get this and she could sit there and say, you know, growing up, I really didn't have my relationship with my dad. I was more with them. I look at Roman more like a father figure than him. You could do so much with it. You really can. Now, we're going to see this at WrestleMania. I don't know. Why? Well, because there was 3 face-offs on the season premiere of SmackDown, and one of them may happen to be the main event for WrestleMania. But let's talk about the first out of the 3. If I had to rank one, this is like the least of the ones that I'm looking forward to, but I'm still looking forward to it. And that's the face-off right here. Charlotte Flair and Jade Cargill. Now, me and my brother had this conversation. Me and a few other people have had this conversation. I, as you all know, you can go back and watch the episode that I did where I talked about Jade Cargill and her rumored being coming to the WWE and then her officially coming to the WWE. I've always said that I want to see Jade Cargill learn the, like, get better in the ring. You know, she's still green. Let her get better before you put her in the ring with a Charlotte Flair, with a Bianca Belair, with a Rhea Ripley. Those are the ones. With a Bayley, you know, Asuka, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Liv Morgan, for all I can think of, you know. It's just Tiffany Stratton, Becky Lynch. Before you put Jade in the ring with them, let her get better in the ring. Cause I don't want to see her get into the ring and get embarrassed. That's what I don't want. I will admit, Jade Cargill has superstar written all over her. She is a superstar in the making. But I want to see her actually do great in this business. Another friend of mine said he wants to see Bianca and her go at it. He wants Bianca to be heel. I said it before, I'll say it again. Bianca Belair is the John Cena of the women's division. She may tweak her attitude a little bit, but she'll never go full heel. Jade will go full heel. Bianca won't. She just won't. But I would love to see Bianca and Charlotte. I think that should be the first one. I think you get, not Bianca, Jade and Charlotte. I think we save Bianca and Jade. Because that right there, if you really want to do something to shake things up, yeah, we had Bianca and Sasha headline night one of a WrestleMania. But let's see what happens if you get Bianca versus Jade, the headline night 2 of a WrestleMania. Now that would be something. That will be something. But that's that. Next up, we have obviously the one that I think everybody kind of, I mean, they've even alluded to having this happen, and that's Jimmy and Jey Uso. By the way, I'm going to say this. I'm going to continue to say this. Anytime Jey Uso walks up and faces off with Roman Reigns or just in the presence of Roman Reigns, I've always said he always seems to quiver and crumble and just tuck his tail in between his legs. And it's just like, it's like an intimidation. Like, he's intimidated by one Roman Reigns. And then, speaking of Roman, you see it right here. The face-off. Roman Reigns, our tribal chief, the head of the table, faced off with the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. And you see it. See that. Tension. A picture's worth a thousand words. I should have said a picture's worth millions of words when I dropped the Paul Heyman Ava video. But this right here, this is the shot. This is the shot. I mean, we're probably going to see another face-off between the two of them, but this is it. Cody, Roman, WrestleMania 40. Speaking of that, I mean, season premiere of SmackDown, Roman Reigns did come back and just basically put everybody on notice. It's still his place, still his island. He's still the head of the table. We know we have potentially his next opponent. It's definitely going to be LA Knight. Everybody's talking about this shot right here, which I absolutely agree. I believe I love this shot of probably the best shot of the night. Probably one of the best shots I've seen in recent memory of in wrestling is this shot right here of the reflection of Roman Reigns through LA Knight's glasses. We also have a new general manager. It was announced on SmackDown that Adam Pearce will be the general manager for Raw, and Nick Aldis is the general manager of SmackDown. I know a lot of people are wishing that Nick Aldis had more of an active role in there as far as competing, but it is what it is. That's not the case right here. Maybe in the foreseeable future, maybe, but right now, keep him at a general manager role. He's great on the mic. I think he'll do a great job as general manager. One of his first things that he made clear or he announced was the latest acquisition from the trade that happened with Jay going to Raw, and that was Kevin Owens is now on SmackDown. I want y'all to pay close attention in the following weeks and months to come. Sami Zayn's relationship with Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn's relationship with Jey Uso, because his best friend has now been traded to Raw. I mean, to SmackDown. Be very interested to see how that plays itself out. So I want to just let everybody pay attention to that, those moments right there. Crown Jewel is coming up relatively fast, and we have right now only one match confirmed, and that is Seth Rollins defending the WWE World title against Drew McIntyre. I am in agreement. I believe a lot of people want to see Drew McIntyre go heel. I would love to see it. I think his run as a babyface has come and went, and it is stale now. I think a new attitude change for him is definitely going to do it. You start to see little breadcrumbs of it happening. So we'll see what happens from there. Obviously, Roman Reigns versus LA Knight is going to take place. Obviously, they're going to announce more matches to come in the next few weeks. And then we're going into Survivor Series. I do believe, and I've said this before, I think we may get a Bloodline Judgment Day going against Team Cody, Cena. There's been rumors. Apparently, Randy Orton's supposed to be coming back. Love to see how that happens. But before I wrap things up, I do want to talk about something that I haven't spoke about since he officially became a part of All Elite, and that is the man better known as Edge, now going by his real name, Adam Copeland, is now All Elite. I did speak about it on the page. I did say that I was happy that he's there. You know, I think that he wanted to do this. I always consider Edge to be a WWE lifer, but obviously that's not the case. I just hope that nothing happens to Edge. a lot of WWE, former WWE talent that goes over to AEW always ends up getting somehow, some way really hurt. And I just don't want to see that happen to Edge. I obviously do not want to see Edge versus Christian right now or Adam versus Christian right now. But I think AEW, I think Tony Khan's going to make it happen before it needs to happen. Like I said earlier, marinate it. Let it cook. Don't give it to us right away. Let it build up. You know, you're slowly doing it now, but I think their next big event, I think they're going to let it happen. Do I think that Edge is going to be the one or going to push the needle up and make AEW more relevant? I don't think so. I don't think we're ever going to see anybody have a lasting impact like CM Punk did with AEW. And speaking of CM Punk, obviously we're getting all these different rumors and things. But as of right now, WWE has made it clear that they're not looking to bring CM Punk on board to the WWE. So we'll just have to wait and see. I do want to talk about, go back to Adam Copeland, go back to his comments, some of the comments that he made that causes the WWE, causes the fans, the wrestling fans, to continue to push this AEW versus WWE narrative. He said that he feels like he feels more free. This is the most freedom he's felt since he was in the indie scene. I followed WWE all my life. I followed Edge since he's been in the WWE. That's all I knew was Adam Copeland in WWE, Edge in WWE. When you look back at all people's bios or biographies or documentaries and things like that, you really see their indie stuff. You didn't see none of Edge's indie stuff. You seen Edge training, but I never seen Edge's indie work. You know, not to discredit him or say that he's lying, because I would never say that. It's Edge. It's Adam. It's his career. But when you think of his career, his career is WWE. It's WWF/WWE. You know, when you think about Samoa Joe, you think of ROH, you think of Impact Wrestling, you think of New Japan, you think of, you know, all these different feds, you think of Adam Cole, you think of ROH, New Japan. You know, that's what you do when you think of these certain people. You think of their independent wrestling. Finn Balor, New Japan. AJ Styles, New Japan. Impact Wrestling, you know. But Edge, Adam Copeland, that's WWE, you know. So it was kind of hard, but if he's going to have fun, that's all that matters. As long as he's having fun, you know. And I think his last match should be against Christian, in all seriousness. All seriousness. But that's it for now, guys. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure, as I said in the beginning, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. For all those that are new to this page, make sure you hit the subscribe button and hit that notification bell so you are updated of when more content is dropping. As always, I'm The Franchise. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and on Threads at RCW_podcast. Make sure you follow the Ace, RCW_Ace, on his Instagram, his Royal Club Instagram page that he has up and running. I've always said it, man. I'm going to continue to say it. Hopefully we get the Ace back here so we can do more video content. But he will be doing more audio stuff. As you know, I will always be doing video stuff. But till next time, enjoy this week of wrestling. I know Monday is the season premiere of Raw. So this video probably will be coming out before or after it. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoy NXT, Dynamite, all the other wrestling stuff that's going on. Let me know what y'all think about this episode. Let me know what y'all think about the Tony Khan rants, the battle. You know, let me know what y'all think about the Paul Heyman, Ava Ray angle. If you had control of the pencil, how would you do it? Let me know what y'all thought about the season premiere of SmackDown. What do y'all think about Roman Reigns versus LA Knight, probably at Crown Jewel? Do you want to see Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania 40 so Cody Rhodes can finally finish the story or try to finish the story? Or do you want to see The Rock versus Roman Reigns? Let me know what y'all think. Let me know what y'all think about the Jade Cargill and Charlotte Flair face-off. What do y'all think about that? What y'all think about Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso facing off for the first time pretty much since he's won the tag team titles with Cody Rhodes? Speaking of that, I am not a big fan of the finisher that they have. I think Cody Rhodes is really going to hurt himself, but that's not here nor there, man. Listen, enjoy wrestling. Enjoy wrestling. Enjoy this week and the upcoming events that's happening in the world of professional wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever you want to refer to it as. I am the franchise, the podcast Tribal Chief. I am out. Till next time, I'm out. Later.